Trade talks with Europe look like they're going to get off on the wrong foot. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Let's talk about trade. We have a lot going on. Trade negotiations, tariffs hitting, the government shutdown. Yes, there's a trade angle there, too. Tracy Samuelson is our trade reporter. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Sabri.
So let's start in Europe. Before the Europeans meet with the U.S., they're hammering out what their negotiating objectives will be. The European Commission is meeting today to do that. So far, Tracy, it looks like the U.S. and Europe don't even agree on what they're going to be talking about.
Right. The U.S. and the EU are set to begin negotiating a new trade deal later this year. The U.S. is also going to start talks with the U.K. and Japan. But quick update, as of yesterday, the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, the part of the government that negotiates these deals, is mostly shut down.
All right.
A notice on its website said trade talks will continue, but it didn't give details on how or who, what staff will be a part of that. So there's that. And then, yes, as you mentioned, the EU and the U.S. are just not on the same page when it comes to what will be covered in these negotiations. So the EU has basically drawn this red line around agriculture, said the whole industry is off the table. The U.S. has said, oh, we very much want to talk about this. So off the bat, there's this kind of big mismatch in expectations for these talks. And that's important both for the prospects of getting a deal, but also because the White House had said this summer that it won't levy any tariffs on auto imports from Europe while the negotiations continue. Those are something Europe is very worried about and very much wants to avoid.
And speaking of tariffs and cars, we heard from auto executives at the Detroit Auto Show yesterday how much they're being hurt by steel and aluminum tariffs that are already in place. What did they say about how much this is costing them?
So Fiat Chrysler said the tariffs are adding about $135 to $160 in costs for every car it makes. Mm. A Toyota exec said the company's had to raise prices on its vehicles three times already to help cover increased costs. Also interesting, Fiat Chrysler said the shutdown is holding up certification of one of the company's new heavy-duty pickup trucks, a particularly profitable model for them.
All right, Tracy, thank you so much. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 4 to 6 tenths percent range, with the Dow future up 115 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.70%. Senate confirmation hearings are set to begin Wednesday for President Trump's pick to run the Environmental Protection Agency. Andrew Wheeler is likely to face some tough questions over his past as a lobbyist for fossil fuel producers and whether those companies would have undue influence over the agency that regulates them if he were to run the EPA. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports from Washington.
Wheeler was deputy to the past EPA head and has been the acting administrator since July. He will face questions over his past as a coal lobbyist and his use of furloughed EPA staffers to prep him for this hearing despite the government shutdown. Senators may also ask about his plan to ease carbon pollution regulations on coal plants. Former EPA lawyer Kevin Minoli.
Clearly, there's going to be an expectation that Andrew gets that rule across the finish line.
That and many other Wheeler initiatives will face legal challenges, including plans to roll back auto fuel efficiency and air pollution standards. Richard Revez at NYU Law doubts if any will survive.
The analysis behind all of these proposals doesn't meet the minimal standards, either on the economics or on the science.
Still, given his experience at the EPA and his support for the administration's deregulation vision, Wheeler is expected to be confirmed by the Republican Senate. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Women are underrepresented in corporate America at all levels. Female CEOs at large companies are a downright rarity. Only 5% of the top 500 companies are led by women. According to some studies, this underrepresentation is stifling growth. Some investment services firms are trying to address the problem by embracing what's known as gender lens investing. The idea is to get investors to put their money into assets that promote gender equality. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
A 2015 Grant Thornton study found that companies with diverse boards that include women get a better return on their assets, about 2% better. Andrew Behar runs a San Francisco Bay Area shareholders advocacy group called As You Sow. He says putting women in positions of power is simply good for business.
It really creates a better culture that's going to reduce risk, that's going to attract the best and the brightest talent.
Behar's group offers a free online tool which allows investors to review the gender equity scores of mutual funds. For example, whether the companies in the fund are selecting and keeping women on boards and promoting equal pay. But that information isn't always easy to get.
The greatest challenge really is the transparency.
Diana Van Maasdijk is head of Equileap, a company that collects gender equality data from companies. Everything from what percentage of women they employ and how much they earn to parental leave policies.
This type of information, many times we have a hard time finding it in the annual reports of the companies.
But more investment firms have been doing that research and offering gender lens investment funds, bonds, even a CD. Investors poured more than $2.4 billion into gender lens assets last year, according to Verus Wealth Partners. That's nearly double the amount in 2017. Alyssa Greenspan of Community Capital Management says that's not surprising.
We've seen increased interest because of some of the outside factors. The Me Too movement, the Women's March.
Companies with better gender equality are more likely to succeed, but there's no guarantee, says Joanne Weiner. She's an economist at George Washington University.
People may very well wish to invest in funds that promote gender equality because they think that is the right thing to do, but they shouldn't necessarily expect to get extraordinary returns.
Weiner says gender equality is just one factor that goes into a company's success. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Janaki Mehta, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.